Welcome to 51st Dates. I'm your host, Jolie Moore. I now know that hindsight is 20/20. This season, I'm going to share that wisdom with you. In every twice-weekly episode, I'm going to highlight one of my postcards from my Take Note, Stories of Narcissistic Abuse project and the unvarnished truth behind them. A lifetime of gaslighting and abuse are the reasons why my 51st Dates experiment was the unmitigated disaster that it was. I think it was kind of funny, a little bit tragic, but still a mess. Join me as I take on the task of finding out if my future self can forgive that person who lived through abuse and came out of the other side, still searching for a crazy, beautiful love story. Ready? Strap in. Let's go. Hi, and welcome to 51st Dates. This is your host, Jolie Moore. You know, I came across the phrase this week, insight is 2020, and I think I'm going to sort of use that as a framework going forward, because I think I now realize that I could not have had the clarity to analyze my past back then, not when you're steeped in it. So I think I need to be grateful that I can see the truth, and I do have clarity. So without further ado, let's get to card number two. Number two. One of my first memories is my mother telling me that my father didn't want a child and didn't love me. I was three. To be frank, this is actually, I think, one of my first memories. So there is some context surrounding it, maybe. When I was three, my parents got married, I don't know, 4 or 5 years before I was born. No, two years before I was born. So they got married. They lived in this, this one house in Brooklyn. And when they broke up, they moved to each a different brownstone, to be honest. We lived in a brownstone in Park Slope, and my dad lived in a brownstone in Bed-Stuy. That's it. I have a love of brownstones, honestly, because I grew up in them. So we lived in this brownstone. I showed it to a friend on Google Maps not long ago, and she's like, oh my God, it looks so iconically Brooklyn. And I thought, it is iconically Brooklyn, but also whenever I walk down streets in Park Slope or Bed-Stuy, as an adult now, it's just home. I don't really have a way to separate it, like New York City as a place, from New York City where I was born and raised. Okay. Specifically Brooklyn, let's be clear. I don't go from Manhattan or Queens or Staten Island or the Bronx. I'm from Brooklyn. Take the girl out of Brooklyn, but you can't take Brooklyn out of the girl. So they separated and they split up into these different houses. And I was living with my mother. Actually, she'd already had a live-in lover, this guy from Jamaica. Oh, that's a whole thing. There was this guy from Jamaica, actually. He had a couple of kids in Jamaica. You know, we used to go on all these trips to Jamaica. I have not actually ever put this together. I wonder if she used to see him there. Maybe that's why I was in the condo with the nanny. I'm going to really have to think about that. You know, I actually just literally never put it together. Anyway, this guy lived with us. So that's not even relevant to this card. So my parents had separated. They didn't get divorced, actually, till I was much older. Formally, I don't know why. Actually, it's hard to divorce in New York. And so I could see putting that off. Although getting divorced in California wasn't a lot easier either. Okay, I digress. So basically what happened was, according to my mother, they separated. I was like two and a half, maybe like almost three. And I asked all the time about where's my father, where's my father, where's my father? And apparently it drove her batshit crazy. So I will say that I assume that her saying that my father never wanted me or loved me came up in this context. And it's actually my first memory, or it's one of two memories that I don't have any like way to sort out which is first. Either it's my mother saying this to me, or this. So we had a Rottweiler, in this brownstone in Park Slope, right? So we had this Rottweiler, who, let's see, if I was three, what was I, like 25, 30 pounds, maybe? And the Rottweiler was probably 100 pounds. It was a big dog. And love the Rottweiler, love dogs. And I said to my mother, I want to walk the dog. Now, this reminds me of my son. At some point at three, my son, we were sitting in the car. I don't even know what kind of car. I had an SUV back then. And my son got into the driver's seat. I don't know what we were doing. And he's like, are you going to teach me how to drive a car? And I looked at him and I said, I should have said you're three, no way. But what I said to him is your feet don't reach the paddles, so that's not an option. So he doesn't. So all this said, so my mother said, you want to walk the dog? You know, and she gave me the leash and I went out the door. So I don't know if you have been in a brownstone, but basically, well, the ones I know, I've not been in all of them, but the ones in my family, the first floor was like a half basement floor, which was like where the kitchen was, living room and stuff. And on the second floor were the like bedrooms and stuff. So you would come out of the second floor and there was a big wide staircase in both my mother's and my father's. There was a big staircase, like super wide wood, like, you know, shiny banisters, all that. And you'd walk down this big staircase that maybe had like, I don't know, the ceilings were high. So maybe like 20 steps. They're pretty tall in my memory. And so I get the dog leash and I take it. And the dog, who is very excited to leave the house, probably pulls me down the stairs. And I went thump, 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 all the way down the stairs. It is such an unpleasant memory. And my mother said to me, well, you wanted to walk the dog. I guess that's what happened. You know, which, you know, in retrospect, not great. So either it's that or her telling me that my father didn't want me and didn't love me. But I will say the thing about that part is it was a constant refrain. She said it all the time. She would always say, you know, I wanted you and I always wanted a daughter. I wanted a child that could love. Your father never wanted children and never wanted you. You know, as an adult, I realize this is a pretty, pretty awful thing to say to a child. But as a child, I had no other information. And I always actually assumed it was true. So my father died, oh my God, probably 25 years ago. Wow, time passes. He had a heart attack. So died suddenly, not, you know. And it's only later when I tell people the story now, which I don't do anymore, like not often, but before I had good filters, I would tell people the story. And I think somebody pushed back and said to me, but do you think that's true? And do you know, like, it's the first time, like in my 40s or whatever, that I ever questioned the validity of that statement. I'd always assumed that it was true. And my father, after my parents divorced, was a little absentee. So the weekends, you know, the whole like every other weekend schedule that used to be the custody thing. Every other weekend, I would go to his mom's house and he would show up or not show up as the case. He lived there for a while, but then he moved out and got married in secret, different conversation. And so he was there when he lived there. And then when he moved out, he moved like to like Mount Vernon, which is like in Westchester. He showed up occasionally, I don't know, once every third or fourth time. So maybe I saw him like every month or couple months. So at that point, it was pretty easy to believe that he was not a fan of me and didn't necessarily love me or want me. But I don't know now as an adult whether or not it was just dealing with my mother, which, you know, even I know is a lot, that caused like him to keep his distance, or if there was something else involved. And I honestly don't know. I know his mother, my grandmother, called him all the time and sort of ripped him a new one for not being involved. But I would only hear half of these arguments, and then I don't know what the resolution was. But let's just say that's my first and probably most lasting memory is my mother saying that he didn't want me. Who knows? I think the last time she may have said it, it's probably in my 20s. And after that, maybe when he died is when she stopped talking about it. Actually, I don't even know if I told her that he died. I probably did. I have to think about that. So he died. I'll tell you. So he died on a city bus. I only found out about it. I used to have a job working for a database company that will still exist, but it's like 15 owners later. So I used to work for this database company, and I looked him up. This is before Google, but I used to randomly Google people that you sort of wonder about. I looked him up. I typed in his name, and it came up that he had died on the city bus, and it was like a brief like article, like in like probably some newspaper and somewhere in Westchester. So this is not like deep. It was like maybe like 40 words. So I contacted the reporter and I got more information, or as much as the reporter would give me. And then the reporter says, well, I don't know why you're asking me. Why don't you just ask your mother? And I thought, my mother? What are you talking about? But she was talking about the woman that he had married. Oh, that's a whole nother conversation. But I was never in contact with her. Like, I know her name. And actually, last time I Googled, she was still alive. So that was, let's just say he died, and so it's unresolved. But I do now, as an adult, wonder if indeed it was true. It may not have been, it may have been, but either way, it was an awfully cruel thing for a mother to say to a child starting when she was 3. I'm Julie Moore, and this has been 51st Dates, the podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I hope you'll share, rate, and review it on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It will help others find the crazy, beautiful love stories that I like to share. Also, please hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. If you'd like to know how this project started, my memoir, 51st Dates, is available wherever books are sold. A link is always included in the show notes. I'm also a romance writer. If you want to know more about my books, please visit joliemoore.com for more information. You can also follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and Substack at XO Jolie Moore. The essays accompanying these postcards are available on Substack. You can also follow me on all social media at the same handle, XO Jolie Moore. Thanks for listening, and I'll be in your ears very soon.